Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. A Creator's Guide to Stopping Self-Harm by Maggie Parr is a memoir-informed self-help and creative recovery book centered on self-injury, trauma, and artistic practice. Parr writes from lived experience, describing a long personal process of healing while also drawing on psychological insight, therapy, spirituality, and creative work. The book is positioned for people who self-harm, people close to them, and professionals who support recovery. Its central purpose is not to replace clinical care, but to show how creative expression can become a structured alternative to destructive coping. Parr approaches self-harm as a deeply personal behavior linked to pain, secrecy, ritual, and emotional overwhelm, then examines how making art can redirect some of that same intensity toward integration and self-understanding. The result is a practical and reflective guide that stands between memoir, art therapy-oriented practice, and compassionate education about a difficult subject. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, lived experience gives the book a survivor-centered recovery framework. A defining feature of the book is that Parr writes as someone who has personally experienced self-harm over many years, rather than as a detached commentator. This matters because self-injury is often misunderstood as attention-seeking, irrational, or purely symptomatic. A survivor-centered account can explain the internal logic of the behavior without endorsing it. Parr's four-decade healing journey allows the book to address the persistence of self-harm across adulthood, including the reality that it is not limited to teenagers or brief periods of crisis. That perspective is especially important for adult readers who may feel invisible in conventional discussions of the topic. The memoir element also helps frame recovery as uneven, requiring support, reflection, relapse awareness, and sustained self-acceptance. Instead of presenting a simple technique that works immediately, the book appears to emphasize gradual transformation. Its value lies in making the private experience of self-injury more intelligible while reducing shame and isolation. This foundation supports the later practical material because the guidance is rooted in experience rather than abstract encouragement. Secondly, creative practice is presented as a redirected form of emotional intensity. The book is distinctive in treating creativity not merely as a pleasant distraction, but as a possible redirection of the same energy that can drive self-harm. Parr's background as an artist shapes this argument. Making art can involve ritual, repetition, touch, pressure, symbolism, privacy, and release, which are also elements that may be present in self-injurious behavior. The book, therefore, frames creative work as an embodied substitute channel, not just a cognitive reframing exercise. This gives the approach practical force because it recognizes that self-harm often answers a physical and emotional need at the same time. Painting, drawing, or other forms of making can externalize distress, give it visible form, and slow the impulse long enough for reflection. The point is not that art automatically cures self-injury, but that structured creative action can create space between urge and act. Parr's approach is meaningful because it respects the intensity of the urge while offering a safer method for expression, containment, and eventual integration. Thirdly, healing is linked to therapy, self-discovery, and spiritual meaning rather than art alone, although creativity is central. The book does not appear to present art as a standalone cure. Available descriptions emphasize that professional therapy was crucial to Parr's recovery, alongside personal, spiritual, and creative work. This combination is important because self-harm can be connected to trauma, emotional regulation difficulties, shame, dissociation, or relationship wounds. And these often require more than expressive activity. By acknowledging therapy, the book avoids the common weakness of creative self-help material that implies personal expression is sufficient by itself. At the same time, it recognizes that therapy sessions do not contain the whole of recovery. Readers must also find ways to live with themselves between appointments, develop personal language for pain, and build practices that make healing concrete. Spiritual meaning in the book seems to function less as doctrine and more as a way to understand creativity as sacred, serious, and connected to identity. This blended model gives readers a broader recovery map that includes clinical support, inner work, and active making. Fourthly, the book offers interpretive value for families, allies, and helping professionals. A Creator's Guide to Stopping Self-Harm is described as useful not only for those who self-injure, but also for people who support them. This secondary audience is significant because family members, partners, teachers, therapists, and other helpers often respond to self-harm with fear, control, anger, or confusion. A book grounded in lived experience can help supporters understand the behavior as a coping strategy linked to pain rather than as a simple act of defiance. That shift can change the quality of response from panic or punishment toward curiosity, safety planning, and compassion. For professionals, the book may be valuable as a client perspective on how creative work interacts with recovery. it can help clinicians and peer supporters think about art-based interventions in a more nuanced way, especially for clients who already identify as creative. The book is not a clinical manual, but its practical usefulness lies in translation. It gives readers language for inner experience and shows why recovery requires both external support and respectful attention to personal meaning. Lastly, its practical strengths depend on careful boundaries and realistic expectations. The book's approach is valuable partly because it addresses self-harm with hope, but it must also be read with realistic boundaries. Self-injury can involve immediate physical risk and complex psychological distress, so a creative guide should not be treated as a substitute for emergency care, therapy, medical attention, or crisis support when needed. PAR's model is best understood as a recovery companion that can supplement professional help and personal safety planning. Its creative emphasis may resonate strongly with artists, writers, and visually oriented readers, but some readers may need different tools if art feels inaccessible, frustrating, or emotionally activating. This limitation does not weaken the book so much as clarify its best use. It offers a specific pathway based on PAR's experience and artistic discipline, not a universal protocol. The strongest reading is therefore selective and adaptive. Readers can take from it the idea of redirecting urges into meaningful making while also building a broader support system. The book stands out when its creative practices are used responsibly within a wider recovery context. In conclusion, A Creator's Guide to Stopping Self-Harm is best suited for readers directly affected by self-injury who are looking for a compassionate, creative, and experience-based recovery perspective. It may be especially useful for adults who feel excluded from discussions that focus mainly on adolescent self-harm, and for people who already sense that drawing, painting, writing, or other forms of making help them process distress. Family members and professionals may also benefit because the book can deepen understanding of why self-harm can feel compelling and why shame-based responses are often unhelpful. Its practical benefit is the reframing of creativity as an intentional alternative channel for emotional intensity, not merely a hobby or distraction. Its intellectual benefit is a more layered view of recovery that includes embodied action, psychological insight, spiritual meaning, and clinical support. Compared with many books in the self-harm category, PAR's work stands out because it is built around the perspective of a working artist with lived experience and a long recovery history. Rather than offering only symptom education or generalized coping skills, it explores the specific relationship between creative ritual and self-injurious impulse. That focus gives the book a clear identity within trauma recovery and self-help literature. If you would like to support Maggie PAR, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.